This is FUV Live Sessions, a podcast brought to you by WFUV in New York City. Each week, we'll talk to artists in our Bronx studio and listen to them play a live set. Episodes drop every Monday wherever you get your podcasts. Be sure to follow the show to stay up to date on all the latest episodes, music, and to find your next favorite artist or band. This is FUV Live Sessions. I'm Megan Oftermat, and I'm here with host Eric Holland at WFUV. Eric, can you talk to me a little bit about this week's artist?
Hey, Megan, we've got a band who are as tuneful as they come and some old friends of ours getting ready to do their thing. Real Estate got together about 16 years ago in Bergen County, but Martin Courtney and Alex Bleeker have known each other since about the third grade. We've been fans at FUV since their debut album came out in 2009. Since then, it's been a great ride, and we've been lucky to have them visit us in the Bronx at our studios a handful of times and do some shows for us around town, too. The new disc, Daniel, has been making itself comfortable on my living room turntable for the last couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to getting the details on these songs and hearing the fellas do a few live. WFUV and FUV live session going on with Real Estate. That was Water Underground from the sparkling new album, Daniel. It's Eric Holland along with Martin Courtney and Alex Bleeker. Welcome, gentlemen.
Hi.
Hello.
Thanks for having us.
Congratulations on an album that sounds very much like I would hope a new Real Estate album would sound.
Good.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Just came out today. We're psyched. It's exciting.
The thing that really strikes me on that song, on the record, and now just in the studio as well,
is that whispery backing vocal that you do, Alex. That is such a wonderful effect, and I feel like it elevates an already really pleasing melody.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I agree. And that was one of the contributions from our producer, Daniel Tashian. I mean, you know, we came in with these songs pretty well formed. And then at one point we spent the first day recording that song. That was like the first song we did. He came back in the next morning and he was like, I have this idea.
He actually said it came to him in a dream.
It came to him in a dream.
Which was amazing.
And he sang that line and I was like, that line is beautiful. Like, we should add that for sure. He said, fall on me, you know, which is what the line is there. But we were like, okay, let's figure out what the lyric is going to be, you know, like, and then we're like, no, it should just be Fall on Me. Like, the whole record in a way is, in my mind, like, there's a lot of REM inspiration there. So
we were like,
let's just kind of make it more overt and just put it right in there. But yeah.
Yeah. And you know, it's really fun to do. So it's one of our favorite parts of the record, and yeah. I'm glad I get to be the one to do it, you know, live.
There's a great history of stuff coming to artists in dreams. That was the riff for Satisfaction for Keith, right?
Yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, glad to be part of that lineage.
Yeah.
You know?
And I was chatting with Danielle, your front of house engineer, mm-hmm. in the control room when you were playing, and I asked her, you know, what was going on there as far as the effects, and she revealed, you know, reverb, but also she pitches your voice up a little bit.
Oh.
Did you not even know
that?
This is
news to me. See, these are the tricks of the trade here. Very cool. Very cool. Yeah.
Daniel Tashian, you went to him down in Nashville. That's his home base down there. And you did the record down there.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we it's like every record is so exciting because it's like this kind of clean slate. Like, who could we work with, you know? And his name came up, and it was like, it seemed perfect. We kind of went into this record with a pretty clear idea of what we wanted out of it, you know, like, we wanted to make a record of pop songs, you know, and like, we wanted to make a really clean record and like a lot of acoustic instrumentation. It's just like, he just seemed perfect. And then he was enthusiastically down to work with us. So it was great. And then it's also like, where can we work? And we've worked in all these different cities in the US, and you know, he suggested we come to him, and that sounded great to us because we've never made a record in Nashville. And it seemed like, you know, obviously there's a great musical lineage there, and it just seemed like a cool opportunity to be, you know, to sort of hitch our wagon to that, I guess, in a way.
Was there an album that he had done that especially impressed you?
Yeah, he came into my, or on my radar through the record he produced for Casey Musgraves, or he co-produced Golden Hour. And that record was really big a few years back, you know, like, it was kind of a breakthrough for her. And my kids got really into it. I have three kids, and they were really into that record. And yeah, there's a lot of, I don't know, they get into a lot of things that don't necessarily resonate with me, but I'm still forced to listen to them all the time. But like, that record, I was like, oh, this is actually really great, and I love the production, you know, like, having had to listen to it all the time, I started noticing all these little things in the production, and that's kind of how his name kind of came about.
So your daughter gets a credit for this?
She does, yeah. It's a nice story for sure. And then I got to look cool, like, you know, I'm working with the guy that made the record that you like.
Cool dad.
Yeah.
And I imagine there was some friendly ghosts in the studio down there.
Oh, I mean, unbelievable.
That joint goes back to the mid-60s. That's the one Chad Atkins.
Yes,
we're
in RCA Studio A, which, you know, just listen to the name of it, and it's even more historic than it sounds. Yeah, Chad Atkins had it built. It's this big giant studio, looks like a high school gymnasium, parquet floors. Like, we couldn't have used the whole space if we tried. You know, Jolene by Dolly Parton was recorded in that room, as well as countless other country hits. And there are old photos on the walls when you go in of like Waylon and Willie hanging out in there, Charlie Pride. Like, basically, you know, it's basically like a tour bus stop if you're checking out Music Row in Nashville. So the fact that we got to go into this place with all this history that, you know, but is very much, you know, it's not a novelty thing. It's an extraordinary studio. I think it was like the most high fidelity recording experience that we've had by a long shot.
It's like, it's the dream. Like, when you're a kid, like, envisioning yourself, like, you know, like in the movies, making a record, like, and we've worked in some nice places, but this was like the first real studio.
Hallowed ground there.
Yeah,
very,
for sure.
Very much so. It was cool to feel like, oh, it's, you know, it's our turn to be in here for a week and a half or whatever, you know, let's see what we can do.
Now, on Water Underground, from the new album from Real Estate Daniel, it sounds like you're talking about things going on in your subconscious, Martin. Is that a reasonable interpretation? And trying to bring them out?
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, even that interpretation of the song I had to kind of draw out of it later. Yeah, I mean, and a lot of these songs I kind of wrote in that way, like sort of stream of consciousness, the lyrics, and then maybe if anything was really bad, I would go back and change it. But like, just it was an easier like way to write for me, and it also kind of lent kind of cool, interesting results, you know, or just felt more natural. But yeah, that song is sort of almost kind of about that process, or the process of kind of having ideas come to you and then not wanting to forget them, trying to remember, you know, and whatever. It's, yeah.
Is that a song about writing songs?
Yeah, sadly, yes. Yeah.
But I think, like, as a, you know, from a listener's point of view, I mean, I play on the song and sing on it, but I didn't write it, the lyrics, you know? And it's applicable to me in terms of, like, having this wellspring of creativity flowing underground and, like, wanting to tap into... It's almost like, you know, when you try to tap into that water, you can't, almost. It's like mm-hmm. trusting that the flow is there and letting it fall on you, dare I say, you know?
Very Buddhist.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? Like, a lot of songs, the lyrics start with, like, just a cool image or like something that just sounds good to sing, and Water Underground just sounded cool to me. Like, it just was a cool phrase, and then I kind of had to figure out what it meant, you know, later, like as I was finishing the lyrics, you know, like
so. Now there was no nod to David Byrne on that, is there?
No. And then, but then, you know, that's a cool happy little coincidence too, though, because obviously, you know, Talking Heads are great.
Now, it's a fun video you did for Water Underground that maybe people would know, Wart Radio.
Right, right.
For the Adventures of Pete and Pete, who you've known for a long time, those guys.
Well, you know, we started as fans, so it's a show that if you watched the show as a kid, it means a lot to you.
Probably, right? Especially for people in this area, or you know, like
all,
you know,
Bergen County guys.
Totally. Yeah, Jersey.
It meant a ton to us as kids when we were watching it when the show was airing new, and then. Almost like, you know, it's so funny, like I think I can remember being like in high school and having a deep sense of nostalgia for the show, and you're in high school, you think you're so far away from your childhood, but it was really like 6 years ago, you know, but already realizing that, you know, the show is like, it's a kid show, it's a wonderful kid show about seeing the world of sort of adult themes through the eyes of children, but like it's a high quality show that any adult would enjoy now, I would say. And the
aesthetic, it's like cool and hip, and there's
the music,
musicians in it, and
the plot points, it's all really, really good. So I think, you know, and it was shot very close to where we grew up, so it was very easily relatable for us as kids. And I think that we quickly realized that it was an influence on us, like on our lives and also on our band and the way the music sounds and our aesthetic and everything. You know, our guitar player is wearing a red and black lumberjack coat, you know, today. And if you know the show, you know that that's part of the aesthetic. Danny, who played Little Pete on the show.
Danny Tamborelli.
He's a neighbor of ours. He grew up in the next town over, and he was kind of this local legend. Like, oh, that's the guy from the, you know, I'd see him in the diner sometimes. He was friends with my older brother's friends, he was friends with my friend's older brother's, you know, like, and he was like, he was in a jam band that like played at the local.
Says the guy wearing a fish shirt right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, listen, it had its influence, you know. And so I kind of knew of him, and then eventually we all got older and we met, and we realized that we had these local connections, and we had this idea for the video, and he was kind enough. He really took center stage in saying, like, you know what, I think this is a great idea, and I think your music is right for us to kind of do this. Because it was really like a reunion. The creators of the show got back together, a couple of different cast members, some old set items, you know, made it onto the set. And it was a special feeling thing for us to be, if you can imagine being implanted into one of your favorite childhood TV shows for a whole day. You know,
That's
we got to have that experience.
It was really,
you know?
Like, I was thinking about it earlier today. It's like so much fun. Such a fun day making that video. And like, yeah, so special. Really great.
Not only did you make a nifty video for Water Underground, but also for Flowers, which, may I, why don't we hop right into that one?
Sure, yeah. Let's
do it. Let's hear Flowers from Real Estate, FUV Live.
Thank you.
Was Flowers FUV Live. I mentioned the video as we set it up, made by the Swedish animator, not the grand chess master, Magnus Carlsen, who did the Paranoid Android video.
That's right, Radiohead, yeah.
So what a kick to be able to work with him, I'm sure.
Super cool. Yeah, we knew we wanted to do an animated video, and we were like batting around ideas for animators, and you know, at one point I was like, it should feel and look kind of like the Paranoid Android video, like that, you know, like such a great, like I just always remembered that video. It's one of my favorite videos from, you know, from watching MTV in the 90s. And like, but you know, I wasn't even sure if that guy was still making, like it didn't occur to me to actually say like, let's ask him to do it. It's just, we should do something like that. And then I guess someone from the label just reached out, and the next day we heard Magnus is down. Like, Magnus wants to make a video for you guys. So yeah, that was like totally mind blowing and super exciting. And yeah, just, you know, just, I don't think he's made a music video since that Radiohead video. So it, yeah, feels very just cool that we got to do that.
Real estate's accomplishing all kinds of things.
Yeah, our videos are like, yeah, just somehow mining our childhood, yeah, for this.
It was pretty special when that came through, that we were like, because we couldn't find anybody who was able to do it. It was just a timing thing, you know? And we were like, well, why don't we just ask him? And when he said yes, we were like, wow, you know, we learned a valuable lesson there. It's like, you know, shoot for your, what is it? Shoot for something and you land among the stars.
And we got
That time we just actually landed on the moon.
Yeah, totally.
And we got to see Martin as Kay from Metamorphosis there, right?
That's right, yeah. Dude, I mean, he agreed to do the video. It was very exciting. Then he, maybe a week or two later, he sent over like a treatment, you know, of what he wanted the video to be, or his idea for what it was. And I read it and I was like, this is definitely the same guy. You know, like, I was almost so in shock that he wanted to do it that I was like, maybe it's not the right Magnus. Like, could it possibly be the same guy? And then I read the treatment. I was like, oh, it's definitely him, because this is very weird and kind of disturbing. But like, you know, but also, you know, there's like an optimism to it almost. I really like it. It's a great video. It's pretty weird and creepy, but has like a good kind of, yeah, ending, I guess.
Really, really engaging. Barrytown reference.
That's right, yeah.
any Steely Dan nod or just coincidence? I know you're up in Dutchess County when we talked a few years ago during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You had just moved up there and just gotten that West Highland White Terrier.
That's right. Yeah, you know, it's that song is sort of, yeah, kind of obviously sort of about that region, or about moving up there and kind of getting my bearings like years ago. Yeah, you know, the Barrytown thing, it kind of popped into my head. I wrote that song really quick, and then the Barrytown lyric, you know, I was definitely... You know, I can't like see Barrytown on the map and not think of Steely Dan. But I put it in there and I was like, there can't be another song other than Barrytown. And now this one that references Barrytown. So, you know, that was just like a, you know, like if we can do it, why not do it? You know,
and that lyric about the porter not putting up a fight struck me as
that was
mysterious.
So that was like that actually is. I have a terrible memory, but I have a vague recollection of us being on tour, maybe playing Woodstock or playing someplace in that region one time, and showing up at the hotel, and the hotel was closed, and we couldn't get in, or you guys couldn't get in, or maybe I was going home, but the person, you know, the evening porter, which is just like a fancy way of saying the guy that works there at night, like, came out and let them in, but it was like, you know, I'm just sort of, you know, I was just drawing from different things, you know, and it was not Barrytown where that happened. I don't think there is an inn in Barrytown, but, you know.
Artistic
creative
license.
Creative license, yeah.
The name of the album is Daniel, and the first thing I thought of was the Elton John song. Was that an inspiration for the name of the record?
I mean, not
yes.
Well, no. Okay, yes.
Everything
it's sort of like, it's funny, you know, we obviously talk about the name a lot on this record. It's a unique name, and that's the reason we love it. And the name is Daniel because, like, you would name a person or a pet or something Daniel. Like, we felt like giving the record a proper name, and that's like, we landed on it, and we were like, yes, that is the character. That is the spirit of this album. So it's inclusive of all Daniel reference points and all Daniel people and just everything that Daniel conjures. So I guess that's a long-winded way of saying Elton John's Daniel is involved, and what a great song it is.
It's a great song. You know. To me, one of the reasons I like the name of the record is because it does feel sort of weird, like mysterious, you know, like who is Daniel? And I think actually the song in a way does the same thing. We've been covering it, and when we were learning it, we're like, what is this song about? Who's Daniel? Like, what? It's like similarly, like when you give a name like that to a piece of art or music or whatever, it's like you can't help but wonder like what it's all about, you know, especially if it's not spelled out, you know.
Interestingly, I have an older brother named Daniel, so this song has always really resonated with me. You know, it's like a Truman Show kind of moment. Daniel, my brother, you are older than me. Like, even as a kid, I was like, what? Wow, this is very strange.
Will you play it for us?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
FUV Live with Real Estate. name of the new Real Estate album is Daniel, and a great cover of the Elton John, Bernie Taupin song there here on FUV Live with Julian playing melodica.
That's right. That's right. So Julian also plays clarinet and saxophone. He can do everything. At one point, we were like, because there's like, I think it's flute maybe in the original recording. There's some sort of woodwind in there. And we're like, you know, Julian, it'd be really great if you played clarinet. But he suggested melodica, which I think is just probably easier to travel with or whatever. But it sounds really cool. It sounds great on the recording.
It really does. It's always fun to, it's such a disconnect seeing somebody blow into a keyboard.
It's true. It's great sounding instrument though. Melodica is, yeah.
I don't know if you'll remember, Martin, but when you told me you had that West Highland White Terrier, I mentioned that I had a Westie growing up.
Uh-huh.
And his name, Danny.
Wow. Oh, my God. Get out of here. The convergence. It's incredible.
That's amazing.
See, that's the kind of magic that this record conjures. You know?
It's connecting so many dots.
Yeah, exactly.
And as far as what it's about, I remember reading sometime that Bernie wrote the lyrics about a Vietnam vet. You're nodding yes, so you know this.
Well, we ended up looking it up.
Who moved back to Texas, and I think it's a made up story, I guess, but yeah, like, and
it's a sad song.
Had a hard time reintegrating into society and decided to move to Spain, or and it's written from the perspective of his younger brother. But it's funny because I read that and I was like, this is almost hilarious because like I get none of that from these lyrics. But apparently there was a third verse that supposedly spelled it all out, and Elton John in the studio was like, there. It says it in the Genius entry online. He hated that verse, and he literally just ripped it off the piece of paper and was like, this is the song.
It kind of makes sense because, it's like that would date it. And, you know, that sort of air of mystery, because it is emotional. Like, you get all of that content without knowing specifically what the story is. But
totally.
Then when you hear that, you're like, oh, yeah, that's all in there, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So much art is better when it's vaguer.
A little air of mystery, yeah.
You did an all Daniel show in Brooklyn. Did this really happen?
Daniela? This is not a joke. You know, I think some people who weren't named Daniel, Daniela, have Daniel somewhere in their name, Danielson, middle name, Daniels. You know, all Daniel varieties were accepted.
Dancing.
Some non-Dans did sneak in. They managed to get themselves in there, but we had a big turnout of, I would say, mostly Daniels in the room, and that was a They were happy to be there and all together, I feel like.
We opened and closed with Daniel by Elton John.
That's a great way to start a tour. In Brooklyn at Union Pool.
That's right.
Eric Holland chatting with Martin Courtney and Alex Bleeker of Real Estate. The new record is Daniel, and it's been a pleasure. And we'll wrap it up with a song that I feel you kind of hinted at a little bit in Flowers with the line about feelings of dread.
Right.
And this one, you're just letting the dread and angst and worry just really fly.
Yeah, yeah. Happy song. I don't know. Dreadful, anxiety-filled lyrics for sure. But yeah, the music has sort of a positivity to it. I don't know. I like that juxtaposition.
Oh, I love that too. Yeah. An Elliott Smith kind of a thing. Right?
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks again for the hang. Here's Haunted World wrapping up an FUV live session with Real Estate. Turn you make it strong.
they say. There is no rest, there is no sleep. The day
an FUV live session and conversation with Real Estate at WFUV in New York. Thanks to Real Estate for joining us in our studio and to Domino Records. This episode's audio team included Jim O'Hara, Alan Wang, Matthew Ellersick, Nadia Garriga, and Olivia Grant. Our theme music was composed by John Crick. FUV live sessions are engineered by Jim O'Hara. Our assistant producer for this episode is Alexander Fowle. Megan Aftermat is our executive producer. Subscribe to FUV live sessions wherever you get your podcasts, so you can catch the latest episodes and find your next favorite artist or band. Episodes drop every Monday. You can also catch audio and video of FUV live sessions at WFUV.org. I'm Eric Holland. FUV live sessions is a production of WFUV in New York.